Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrrh, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrrh Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Are vectors villains? If you pay attention to the media reports, if a connection can be made between an animal and a human disease, one of the most common responses is to kill the animal, poison the animal, set fire to their habitat, anything to get rid of them completely, to eliminate the threat to humans. But is this necessarily the right approach? The idea of defining animals as vectors is misleading. It's misleading in that it's one of those unilateral definitions that simply isn't true. Yes, animals may carry diseases, but we also may carry diseases that make animals sick. Do we consider ourselves villains? So where did this notion of vectors as evil rather than part of the normal ecosystem come from? Like anything else, it came from those who benefited from such a definition. Within human history, identifying something as a villain has always been a beneficial strategy for some because it narrows the focus. If you define the villain as the mosquito, instead of the stagnant water and the poor sanitation and the starving people living in poverty, possibly in a war zone, it's much easier to handle. Then you can focus all of your efforts on eradicating the mosquito. You don't have to deal with these larger issues. This is beneficial for two groups of people. It's beneficial for politicians because, as a group, they tend to be relatively short-sighted. If they can narrow the focus and just provide funding that supports what they consider one approach to a problem that can be accomplished in a very short period of time, that's the one they're going to go for. Hence, things like mass spraying, sometimes with toxic chemicals, to kill animals that have been labeled vectors of one sort or another. That those same chemicals also killed other species and polluted water is immaterial. Similarly, scientists who have a lot invested in the idea that these animals are evil have a lot to gain by maintaining that perception in the public's mind. Consequently, there is little interest in finding anything good about a species that has been labeled a vector. I find that unfortunate. Granted, on the short term, I see the value of it completely, including the value for society. If you wipe out all the mosquitoes, you're going to wipe out the malaria, you're going to wipe out the West Nile virus, or so the thinking goes, and it's probably true most of the time. However, many of these species have existed longer than the human species, and I have difficulty accepting that since this is the case, they have no redeeming ecological or other value. They must have contributed something that benefited the entire ecosystem in order for them to survive that long. But if we treat them as villains, with the goal being to summarily dispatch them as soon as possible, we'll never know, will we? We'll never know if we would have been better off cleaning up the stagnant water, ensuring the nutritional level and the general health of the human population, so that if they did encounter some of these diseases, they would be easily treatable, or perhaps their own immune response would have handled it without treatment. We'll never know that if in the process of recovering from that disease, we also were given cross immunity to other diseases that were much more serious. Or rather, we will learn these things when those more serious problems make themselves known. I'm the first to admit I hate it when I get bitten by mosquitoes. I hate it when I get bitten by ticks. Yes, I have been bitten by ticks. I was probably bitten by ticks back in the days when being bitten by ticks was like no big deal. I've been bitten by spiders. I've been bitten by dogs. I've been bitten by cats. Horses, yes, I've been bitten by a horse. The point is, I don't like it. It hurts, okay? In the short term, it hurts, makes me uncomfortable. When mosquitoes are buzzing around my head, I have to summon up a lot of self-control. It's hard for me to get the big picture at that time. And when you take that kind of mentality and you multiply it by, what, 7 billion people on the planet, that's a lot of impatience. That's a lot of short-sightedness. But even though these critters bite me, I don't think of them as vectors. I think of them as what they are. Members of specific species that have a whole range of behaviors. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. I'm sure they say the same thing about me. But it always goes back to the same thing, getting a broader picture, realizing that it's all connected and it's going to be here. I don't care how we try to kill a virus, a bacteria, a fungus, an insect, or any other animal we deem as a danger to us. They'll survive. Because when push comes to shove, we still remain the most fragile of species.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.